Go ahead, Alyssa.
Speaking of roots, please, Ion, tell me the name.
We like Alex
of...
Haley. Alex Haley.
Alex Haley?
He wrote Roots in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Kunta Kinte and the whole nine yards. It was something else. It was epic.
Black Power.
Please tell me the name of the god or human creator in Egyptian culture that I am connected to.
Well, all of them. If they were gods, honey, they were in our business. So, yeah.
Is there a particular name I should focus on in my research and my connecting?
Egito, D, I, Iker, Atman, Esmin, Ankar, Anep, Atet, Apet, Apis, Dafu, Hapi, He, Hap, Imhotep, MSD, Ilpet, Kamalachi, Mafet, oh. Mehut, Majurna, Meshante, Nun, Orias, Osiris, Osophis, Sophonis, Sopta, Tanin, Yanshir, Mahara, Beha, Pero, Kalimi,
those names.
So the Issi related in Finnegan's Wake and Isis, you're saying those are different lines there? Or are those connected? Is Issi representative of Isis in the Wake?
You're talking the Wake. It's a Joycean conundrum. You'll have to address that to Bob.
Yeah, I can step off that.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to because it's really good. But see, the next thing you know, you're going to go to Mut. If you go to Mut and you try to apply Mut to the Wake, you can, but it's an Egyptian god. But it's also referred to in the Wake, 116. But then 116, when you come back,
no,
then you try
page,
to come back.
Page 16. Is Mut and Jute dialogue, but maybe it's on 116, but I was just going to say 16. You partly correct there, but Mut, M-U-T-T, is on 16. That's the first dialogue.
But that is an Egyptian god.
Okay.
So are we going to marry that into it, too? Now, hold on. If we're going to get to that, too, if you don't ask Bob, you're not going to know, because we're going to answer just like this mess here, which is just messed up. But that's the point. Do you see? So we can get you there, but where?
I haven't learned enough yet of the Wake to be able to connect those things.
Well, neither has Bob, so it's perfectly all right, darling. Okay. Bob hasn't made it yet, so there's hope for you, too.
Let me tell you this, Alyssa. Well, you've got Issy in your name, Alyssa. Now, Mutt and Jute refer, on one level interpretation, page 16, to the comic characters, Mutt and Jeff, I think it was, back then. Joyce himself took the word Mutt from R. Mutt, Duchamp's name, when he put the fountain in the Armory show in 1917. So there's a bunch of levels there. Also, McLuhan's discovered that Egyptian hieroglyphs are like cartoons. They are spinning. Like, that's why they have their odd profiles. They're spinning. So you've got the cartoon aspect, too, of the hieroglyphs. And Ion might have been hinting at that. So that's what Bob knows so far. That's what Bob's gathered so far.
Yay!
More to come. Yeah. Okay. Go to another topic, Alyssa.
What is Paul Laffoley trying to tell me?
That you don't need to know anything.
The colors that you bring up in Revelation chapter 4 relate to the throne.
Yes.
I want to develop some play and conversation around the colors. You talk about a rainbow, and not a lot has been discussed about these colors. Is there something you'd like to say to open that conversation up? Is color and frequency connected?
Yes.
Can you explain how?
Yes. The pitch or continents of pitch. Of like color pitch and vocal pitch, it's the inverted reversion of light. All colors of light is white light, but when you make that into pitch or pigment, all colors make black as a paint. So what you're talking about, if you're working with it from a standpoint of frequency, those frequencies never match until you have one representation to another representation. So the colors in Revelation 4, 111, well, do Revelation 4.
You want me to read it?
Well, sure.
While she's doing that, I am. While you were talking about the relationship between color and frequency, does synesthesia come in there as part of the explanation of their relationship?
From a perspective, yes, but not for an answer.
Your answer is within visual space. It's within a box.
Yours is from mortar, and yours is from mortar trying to get out of the box. Good.
Okay, go ahead, Alyssa.
After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will shew these things which must be hereafter. Now there's your tonal part right there. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And Brian was sitting there looking for the lampstands, and he didn't know what the lampstands are. Oh, wait, no, that's another thing. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald, which is also corundum. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon these seats I saw 24 StubHub ticket holders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowned of gold. And they were genuine tickets from StubHub, too, by the way.
When I first listened to the Revelation, this section you just read,
oh, Lord, you actually listen to that stuff? Good for you, honey. That's wonderful.
I had a really crazy physical experience.
Imagine that.
Yeah, when jasper, sardine, and emerald were mentioned, and the rainbow. So I'm trying to, I mean, I already know what that's about, but I'm trying to enjoy it with some words so that I can, you know, enjoy it.
So it wouldn't offend the LB gay community?
LB what?
That lesbian, gay, and transgendered ones with the rainbow reference in Revelation.
What are you, why are you bringing that up?
No, no, we were just having fun with it. That's how we roll. We'll say inappropriate things, too, if you listen to us long enough. It's so much fun. People just listen to see what nastiness we'll come up with next. It's ever so much fun. And then they'll run themselves in the roadside ditch, and then they'll hate us because we were inappropriate in every way. And then they'll cry in their beds for Ion to come take them away. And then Carolyn says, no, this ain't a cult. You own your own. You got to figure out your own stuff. We told you what to do, and you didn't do it, so it's up to you now. Big boy, you own this,
Ion knew I was going to come in on this. Yeah, listen, when this describes the way Ion's brains work. When they heard rainbow, they immediately thought of the Rainbow Coalition. Then they jumped to lesbian, gay, transgender. They're always doing word association, and that's where Bob and sometimes I come in and have to explain.
I got a better explanation.
References.
I got a better explanation.
The file folders.
Enough of you.
Are you going to do the file folders?
Yes. Now listen to this. No, hold it. My theory why I am brought up is that Nate and Alyssa are on the road, and they're performing in clubs, which it has to be sexually correct. And so Ion's addressing the audience of Alyssa. She has to be careful. She can't fucking start knocking gays in that and being sexual.
Well, she never would.
I know, but the point is Ion's making fun of the pressure on Alyssa. Do you get what I'm saying, Alyssa?
No.
You got to be careful about that, Alyssa?
Ion, you heard Rainbow and you went off on that, correct?
That's the Aaron Kay and the Pie Master. That's a bunch of zippies backed out there in the woods. You know who the Rainbow guys are? The Rainbow Gathering? That's your WBAI audience. Aaron Kay and those guys. They're all wearing canes now.
Wearing?
Yeah, wearing canes.
The guy who puts pie in people's feet.
Now it's appropriate. Now it's appropriate. There was a time, as far as marking time, there was a time when that was not appropriate. Now, all of a sudden, that is appropriate. And they're making the reference
right,
to
and that's,
even
that
in Revelation, talking about for now, is that the rainbow, the color of the rainbow, would be inclusive of all, including specifically the lesbian, gay, bi, transgendered ones among you. But we said it all along. We're talking about
no, that's
cats.
My point.
Dogs and cats.
Thank you for getting my right. point.
That was my point. Exactly.
So when you end up in the ditch and you're crying in your bed for us to come and get you out, we will come and get you out. That's all you need to know. It's all good.
Right.
So anyway, you
have to be careful, Alyssa, in your business.
But the larger picture, Ellen
and Oprah run the fucking Hollywood.
Mute yourself.
I've been muted.
Alyssa, just to finish the conversation, the larger point is when Ions first started talking to us, they required a question, a kind of specific question, because if you ask an open-ended, very broad question, they have to look at 100 different possible answers. And when J.W. would wake up, he'd say, man, I had my whole house was filled with banker's boxes, just filled with all kinds of files where I had to figure out which one to pull to give the answer.
So many answers. That's helpful. Thank you. Got it.
And now it's moved forward, and you still have those boxes. They stack them, but it's okay now because then you just connect the points where you connect. Your dots, your file in the cloud empties all those boxes into the cloud, so everything is available to everything. Everything is available to everything. Matter of fact, it doesn't even have to be a thing, and it can be predicated by it. Do you realize that Bob can make a Wikipedia link, and it's on the news the next day, and then people are marching in the street the week after that, mad about it because the world condemns them again in some ridiculous esoteric nothingness that has something to do with the LaRouche quadrant.
The experience that I had, is that related to the hypothalamus?
And before the throne, there was a sea of glass likened to crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. That's what your dream was about.
So that relates to the future and the past and the knowing and the unknowing. And in the now, there's no knowing. So it felt like it's some sort of awakening or some sort of lightning or some sort of zing. What happened to me?
And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Revelation 5.
Are you bringing that up because of the being right part?
That's right.
Because
Alyssa is
worthy. Alyssa is worthy.
She is, but she can't be right, because if you're right, you might get left. You want to get on down to number 9 when you start singing a new song saying that thou art worthy. Very good, Dr. Dean. Take the book, open the seals thereof, and thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.
Okay, Lisa, I'm going to put you on hold for a minute. I think we have an interesting caller here, which relates to the LaRouche Quadrant in a way. Is this Jim?
I'm here.
Okay, ask your question. It may be connected to what being said or not. It doesn't matter, but I felt that when Ian said the LaRouche Quadrant, that's part of the world you're in. So go ahead.
Why don't I just ask to get a little bit more of an explanation of a LaRouche Quadrant?
Make it a clear question.
What is the relevance of the LaRouche Quadrant now?
Oh, that someone named Lyndon LaRouche has a pontificated position that the queen is trying to put things up your bum hole.
The relevance of that?
That's what the world is doing. Yeah.
And maybe it is. So, Jim, we posted last week, we found out that LaRouche has been dead for years, and that's a double imitating LaRouche. That was our exclusive last week. Where's the double come from, Ion?
The double's mother.
Hey, does the double play any unique role?
Yes. It's trying to give an out to certain sects that would follow the LaRouchean persona.
What kind of an out?
Go at it a different way.
Bob, you said one of our conversations some time ago that homeopathy had become irrelevant. You said that Ion had said that. I am curious to know what that means.
Oh, taking little bitty bitty bits to put it, introduce it into the body, or to put dips into the body to change the genome to have a significant increase or betterment as an application or a environ has passé, it's gone. You're falling low enough in the little man's game that homeopathy doesn't apply. Little tinctures can do fun things, but they don't apply any longer. Now you need the whole hog or nothing works.
Jim, he's saying you need our products, which alter the cellular because we've gone so far down the rabbit hole. Homeopathy's not strong enough, is what I think he's saying.
Ion, is that what you're saying?
That's what we said. They said that already.
They said that.
Okay, well, that answers my question that I asked you, and you said ask Ion, you know, when we talked about it before.
Hey, Jim. Jim, it's Carolyn. Years ago, I stopped using homeopathy because I found it wasn't working. I don't know if Ion's picking up their answer for me, but I had so many sick people. You try this little bitty of something, and it wouldn't move them. The other aspect of it is when people talk about energy medicine, of which homeopathy is one, or the machines or whatever, I've started to get reports from patients and therapists that if a person doesn't have enough magnesium, they don't have enough energy or electrolyte energy to be able to make energy products or machines even work. And that I thought was totally amazing. If you don't have your minerals to allow your own electrical environment work, then how is or how are energy medicines going to even apply?
You mean the radionic kind of stuff?
Correct.
Radionics, yeah.
That's why in the olden days you could put a mustard poultice on someone overnight and transdermally they would just absorb it and they would get it that way and it would help them prolifically.
If your product restores that capacity of individuals, would the homeopathic and other energetic...
No, it doesn't restore it. It makes it available for some of them for the very first time. You got people that have been eating no dirt mineral food for so long, they have no magnesium. It's the only magnesium they've ever known. So it's not a restore. It's a put them in the first time. And, yes, it allows their body then to start operating on all cylinders, which then allows the cells to wake up and go, hey, this is good. I like this, and do some more. And the next thing, your visceral, tactile, meat-type body, you start feeling better and better and better, and all of a sudden the cares of life go strangely dim, and then you're all happy about it. You don't have the energy or the care to blow your brains out anymore.
Yeah, you wouldn't require the homeopathy. You'd be fixed.
Exactly. It would work, but most people don't even need to go there.
And how that ties into LaRouche is the same thing is true with Lyndon LaRouche. When you get there, you don't need to go anyway. Isn't that great?
All right, I got that. Now, that answered the question I had, Bob, when I said I wanted to ask a question. So I should go back to your other conversation.
You're driving now. You can do it anyway. You're in the door now.
Okay. So we're just going to
run with it.
Just pull out of the air. Pull out of the air. Any question, right? So
that's what we do. That's what we've been doing for millennia.
Okay, what's the significance of the Supreme Court justice dying today?
Bob had to have someplace to send the flowers that we told him to send the flowers when the folks started dying.
A week or two ago, I was saying we would be sending some flowers to somebody who was influencing me, getting in the way, meddling, and we would find out who it is, and we just found out early in the show that the person I was referring to was Tony Scalia. So somehow I'm responsible for that.
How was he influencing you?
Well, that's private, but we're becoming pretty noticed and pretty influential. We're bugging Big Pharma. And so Big Pharma or other associates send people in to meddle with us, and they meddled with us all last fall. We had to deal with it. And I guess I got mad. I smote him. No, I didn't. Ion said someone would be smote. That's right. And it turned out to be him. Do not tell your buddies in Washington that Bob did it. This is just between you and me, Jim.
I will not tell them. I will not tell them. But what I want to know is what is going to happen following this now.
Oh, well, that's easy. You'll have to ask President Trump who he wants to be the new Supreme Court Justice when he makes recommendation for who should fill the seat.
You're pretty sure it's going to be President Trump.
Well, we're not much of a prognosticator.
Jim,
yes.
Ion is cagey about predictions because if they say something, it has big influence, and they don't like to meddle on inconsequential areas. They're too busy helping Bob and Carolyn. But this stupid stuff, like who's president, Ion will be flipping about. So that's what he was doing. They are a pretty good prognosticator, but they are careful of not appearing right all the time because the little man gets all worked up about that. So that's the context of Ion's answer.
Right.
Should Obama nominate someone?
He won't get to. So the next thing then, what Bob's trying to say is that we non-physical, we're not as good as we once were, but we're still as good once as we ever were. So it's a crapshoot for us too, mostly, Jim, but it'll be all right. It'll get you out of the bowels of Natchez, Mississippi. That's all you need to be concerned about.
Jim, here's what's important to you. Ian, that's
ahead,
referring,
I'm
you're naming one of these headquarters for the subcultures you talked about a week or two ago, right, Ion? This is the subcultures we're waiting to bring in.
That's not obscure. That's not obscure. You'll see it. It'll be in the USA Today. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I don't remember what you said, but it sounded like a pretty small town or something. Okay, Jim.
It's all fresh and new for Bob every day. It's wonderful.
Right,
it's
I can't
great.
Remember what I did. So,
yeah,
Jim, there are many subcultures around the United States who are getting ready to shut down movement of people on the highways and this and that. It's a different scenario than Alex Jones would come up with about bringing in FEMA camps. It's different how constriction of citizens' rights or citizens' privileges will happen. And he was just referring to that. So go ahead, Jim.
Is there any political situation, event, or person that we should pay attention to at this point?
Joe Daugherty.
I don't know who Joe Daugherty is. What's the significance that we should watch for?
Representations.
So Joe Daugherty, a former volunteer in the Belfast Brigade of the Provisional Irish Republican Army, who escaped during his 1981 trial for killing a member of the Special Air Service in 1980. Wow, this guy's still afoot.
Ew.
Then they have here, July 21st, 2015, they seem to have an interview with him. He looks back on 20 years as a militant with regret. So Joe Daugherty is... He's a former member of the IRA. He spent 23 years in prison. Well, that's not the guy who escaped. That's a different Joe Daugherty, Ion? Am I mixing it up here?
Yeah, it'll lead back to itself.
So are the subculture people going to regret what they're doing? Is that your example?
Probably not. They don't have enough regard to know that it's inappropriate, so probably won't regret it. Mm-hmm. You see, likely not. They might in hindsight. 2020 hindsight's pretty good. But the bigger picture is what Janet Yellen is going to do. That's what's going to drive it, because you all have not lived in a world where you have to get paid to borrow money. It's a very new day.
Okay, Jim, well, that's something we can look up later. Joe Doherty, so there's an answer to that.
Yeah, that's good. We can do that later. Is the group that took over the National Park in Oregon one of the subculture groups you're thinking about or talking about?
No, we don't. No, they are not. They do not think. They were put there by Franklin Graham to help his PR campaign, and it worked marvelously.
What's the objective of Franklin Graham's PR campaign?
World domination in a Judeo-Christian kind of way.
Do we know him, Bob?
Billy Graham's son. He pumped it, he said it, he lined it up, he caused it, he set the train on the track, he run the train. It's not our job to drive the train or make the whistle sound. It's not our job to steer the train or tell where it's bound. It's not our job to stoke the coals or even ring the bells. But you let this damn train jump the track and see what Franklin Graham has to say about it.
Is he a person of substance?
That depends.
On what?
And who you're talking to. Who's his audience? He's got an audience.
Right,
he's got
right,
Billy Graham's
right,
legacy.
Right.
And it sounds like Billy Graham was a little more benign and not so confrontational. It sounds like Franklin is a meaner person. He's got a meaner agenda, Ion?
Nah, not so much. No. No, and Billy was a little more onto it, too. That George Beverly Shea, that's what kept him straightened out. You know how that goes. This is just a little more of a second step of it. A bang. It's still an evangelical association.
What's your take on Ralph Nader?
He's interesting.
Substantive?
To some parties, yes.
Has he got a future?
Well, he did. He sort of shot his wad now, don't you think?
That's my thought. I just thought maybe you might know something that I'm not aware of.
No, it's done. No. He's unsafe at any speed. Don't worry about it.
John Foster Dulles and his brother, what role have they played in the past?
Well, they want to change it. Not successfully either. They want to change future.
Away from the Rockefellers' vision or away from someone else's vision, Ion?
Oh, away from the way the Gutenberg Galaxy presented vision.
Okay, well, that sounds pretty spiritual, pretty high idealistic, well-motivated, high-minded.
How high-minded, that's exactly right, very good.
There's a new book that says that Dulles, the former head of the CIA, was a key player in the assassination of President Kennedy. Is there any meaning to that, or is that just blowing smoke?
Well, it, like we said, it's trying to change history. See, it won't be long they'll write the history that Kennedy didn't even die. You keep rewriting history books until the history has no historical value. You keep upping and downing and changing and backing and forthing until there's nothing left. So you won't be long to where the book repository, they don't even know what libraries are anymore. So a book repository will be ridiculous and inappropriate in every way. That square, the grassy knoll, they won't even be grass. It's all astroturf. They'll rewrite history in such a way that sooner or later, there won't be any car that long that doesn't have a top on it.
I'll assure you, Jim, Ion has told me who involved with killing Kennedy. Most of the main people, like the John McCloy, the guys on Alan Dulles on the Warren Commission, many people are suspicious of them. They had nothing to do with it. That's what was interesting, what Ion said.
Who did have something to do with it?
Well, we can say for sure Bill O'Reilly has no clue what happened, so that's the main part.
Years ago, I have my little phone book for when I was collecting Ionauts and setting up sessions, and in this book is where... Way back, you know, it was 6 years ago. I have 7 names right here. And none of them, I've done a lot in the Kennedy assassination. I was actually involved with the cover-up myself. And I'd never heard any of these names. It was pretty neat what Ion came up with. I think a clue, look into the Secret Service might be a general way to do it without getting into trouble.
Well, there is that Secret Service agent, the black Secret Service agent, who has made a lot of statements about the Secret Service.
He doesn't name the names I've got here, but if I recall, there was a Secret Service element in there. I don't know if Ian wants to say right now. This was very confidential. So go ahead on to another topic, Jim. The Dulles brothers, not so much. As a matter of fact, years ago, the Emerys told me that the guy that the movie The Good Shepherd was about, James Jesus Angleton and Alan Dulles, did not figure it out till 1966. They weren't able to figure it out, and they basically looked at Hoover, and they finally figured out Hoover was a key linchpin there, and they hadn't thought of that from 63 to 66. So that's what the Emerys said. The Ion does not say that stuff, but it's pretty good what the Emerys did. I mean, you can go on Ian and Bob and listen to hours of details on the Kennedy assassination. And from the unique perspective of...
What about Martin Luther King? Is that a Hoover thing?
No. People like to think the same team did JFK, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King. No.
So it was Charles Curtis.
What was his... James Earl Ray, Charles Curtis. I'll write that down. I don't know that name, Jim. But I'll just, he might be just telling us right now. Because I did a lot on the assassination with the Evergreens, and they knew a lot. The group that did Martin Luther King was the business group in southeastern United States, personally worried about, you know, the black getting the vote and how that would affect business and that, and they did it. And Strom Thurmond is suggested to be cognizant of that group, though I don't think the Evergreens said that he... They were very careful what they told me. This is 25 years ago because it was dangerous to talk about it, and I was on the radio. So the Evergreens were careful. But I brought up Strom Thurmond, and they said, yes, he knows about these people. Didn't say that he organized it, but remember, he was an old KKK guy, right?
Who had affairs with black women. That was the best of it.
He just gave you a name, Jim, Charles Curtis, so go with that.
Let me ask you, Ian, what about... Bernie Sanders. What's your thoughts on Bernie Sanders?
Well, the problem with Bernie Sanders is that sooner or later, you run out of other people's money if you are promoting a strict socialist campaign.
And were you doing a slight Boston or wherever Vermont accent there, Ian?
No, that was you, Margaret Thacker.
Is the United Kingdom going to leave the European Union? Bad question.
No, it doesn't end anywhere, so ask it another way.
There's a strong movement in England to separate England from...
Did he lose his connection?
No. We like that, no, so develop it.
I think he dropped out. Right, we'll see if he comes back. Here's a Beverly Hills. Go ahead, Beverly Hills, 310.
Hey, Miss Hill, how you doing? Or can we call you Beverly?
Oh, yeah, Beverly. She's been on the line, but maybe she quit. Sorry, Beverly, we didn't get to you in time. Okay, Eliza, you have a question, Eliza?
Hi, Ian.
Hey, sugar, how you doing?
Sure.
How's Trix?
Trix is doing good.
Good.
I was transcribing my notes from last week, and some questions occurred to me. First of all, you gave us some really good, incredible information. So I want to pick up on that.
We love when physical loves up non-physical. We adore that, Bob. Make a little note. Ion is thoroughly loved up. We like that. Make a little star by that. That's good. I like that. It's good.
Right. Yay. So we learned that Thomas Jefferson's nom de plume was Edgar Reilman. I asked if Edgar Reilman was working closely with Francis I. Your response was, Bob Neverett, yes, pretty close. Did you mean that Edgar Reilman was working closely to Bob Neverett, or was Bob Neverett also Francis I?
Very close on both accounts. They both could be pinned to the scene of a crime.
Mm. And that would be through Ophanel, Eliza.
The thing is that Ion didn't mention Ophanel. Would that be through Ophanel, Ion?
We didn't mention Ophanel, did we?
No.
No, we've done a lot on that, Eliza. You maybe missed it. I've played it in different private sessions, but Ophanel is the main guy here.
Okay, so we asked which specific house was Edgar Reilman from, and you said House de Chambord and also the House of Dorchester. Yeah, I couldn't pull up anything on the Googler on Dorchester, and I think it may have to do with the way I was spelling it. So how is Dorchester spelled?
D-O-R-C-H-E-S-T. Wait for it. E. There's one more.
Got it.
R. Yeah, and then that's a get in a space. And C. A.
Got it, Ion.
Yeah. Oh, okay with that. See there, honey. You said the non-physical wasn't good for nothing.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Moving on, the Chateau de Beauregard, did it happen to be built in another world, and did it show up here?
Would you like it if we said not yet?
Okay, so we already know that it's still incomplete, that it wasn't
yeah,
fully...
Yeah, it's not finished.
Yeah.
But right. The pyramids are not finished.
Okay, yeah, last week you did say that no, but the Chateau de Blois has. So
yes,
did you mean that Chateau de Blois has been built and completely finished in another world and it showed up here, or it's just been... built and finished, and it's here. It's always been here.
We say yes and yes. We don't want to be confusing. We want to be clear. But you got to know that you're talking about things that haven't occurred yet, so they can change.
Mm.
I say long, but you know well.
I know well?
Yes, you know well. How do you spell Blois?
They're Blois, B-L-O-I-S.
Oh, Blois, B-L-O-I-S. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
I looked into the Chateau de Blois, and it also has a spiral staircase, and it has 564 rooms, 75 staircases, although only 23 were used frequently. There's a fireplace in each room, and there are 100 bedrooms. There's a room called Chamber des Secrets, and it was mistakenly believed to be Catherine de Medici's secret hiding place for poisons.
They were compounders, and they did. They had lots of those, and that's where they stored their pacifier. They had pigment, the stuff that makes you go blind, the stuff that makes you go into a coma, the stuff that like makes you pay the walking dead. They had all of it. Them damn Demetri's was something else.
So that wasn't a myth. It actually was used for those purposes?
It really is. It's still there. You ain't much of a myth when you open the damn room and the poison's still sitting in the jars and the crucible's sitting there still. Arsenic doesn't go stale.
Eliza, this is important for the LaRouche Quadrant. LaRouche has written a lot on the expertise of the oligarchs with poisons. That was their special knowledge, you pointed out, you know, 40 years ago.
Oh,
so
now if you're speaking English, if you're speaking English, it might be pronounced pison, because they take a lot of pison. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's for the English people, speaking people that were listening there, so we can translate. Rob, speak.
I started to ask last week if the ceiling of the portraits room at the Beauregard, and you said, yes, it's the new floor. The ceiling becomes the new floor. The topsy-turvy aspect of the redneck holodeck, then it becomes a place where the gallery is not. But you want to find where the gallery is. So now that takes you back to Chambord. We've got to go the way back to Chambord to see how it fits within the circular staircase. See how much fun that is?
Yeah.
Does that mean the portrait gallery room is located in the circular staircase at the Chambord?
No, the entrance is.
The entrance of the room is located at the Chambord in the staircase?
Yes. That's why Roxy can get there. She can get there, but she can't go there. She can go to any other castles and get there, but she can't go to that one because if she does, she won't be able to get back.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that fun?
Very fun. When you step into the gallery room, are you stepping into the Chambord?
No, you are not. But you can go through the entrance that goes from one to the other. They are absolutely esoterically connected. All 12 are connected completely. But we kind of mentioned that, and there's one you're looking for, and you'll find that one too, because it's connected. Connect the dots. Dot.
And are they connected through parallel world tunnels or physical dugout earth tunnels?
They're not earth tunnels. It's like Floston Paradise.
Floss, not lost. Floston, F-L-O-S-S-E-E.
Yeah, that's from the fifth element. I didn't
Very good.
Right, so that the chart on my wall here is an example of the keys to get to the other chateaus.
Yeah, Bob, tell everybody. Yeah. Bob, put it in the Wall Street Journal.
Good.
Nobody reads the Wall Street Journal anymore, so it'll be okay. As long as you don't put it on Adriana Huffington's post, you'll be all right.
Okay, the entrance part, is that a portal or a pocket dimension? Because I heard you mention that a few times.
Now, what did we say? We said you go to any of the 12 castles and you can enter this room into Chambord, right? So apparently the entranceway is connected to those 12 castles. So the entranceway would be a gate, would it not?
Yes.
There's a difference between a portal and a gate. Gates you can fly 777s through. That ain't been happening a lot lately. Oh, wait, sorry, it's coming. There's going to be another one. Shh, don't tell nobody.
Coming up soon?
Yeah. Bob loves it for the drama effect, and he has something to talk about, because the problem with media ecology is you always have to keep drumming up the media. It really sucks.
The entranceway, so it's a gate. Is the gate much larger than a portal?
Size has nothing to do with veracity.
So a plane can go through a gate.
Well, a plane can also go through a portal, but it comes out in very small pieces.
So what goes through a gate comes out in its whole on the other side, wherever that may be.
Yes.
But a portal, it can come out in pieces.
Yeah.
Do they both have the same frequency?
No, they don't.
Is one more?
That's how you can tell the difference. Typically, gates are sharps and portals are flats, typically. Not always, because you have, you crazy modulators. You do half steps all over the time, and then you make these little pocket universes and all these little sidestepping things, and you project in, and then you think you're astral projecting and moving some projectiles into projections, and then you come back around and think you're knowing something, and then you've done something one time, and you think you're king and master of the world because you had one little give-gather one time, and now you think you know everything. It's just wonderful. But then you find out you really didn't know anything, and you start out all over again, and then you lather, rinse, repeat, and that's the secret of life and relax and allow, and everything else is burning in the belly, and then you get to a little bit the Medici Tales of Tea. Isn't that wonderful?
So that's pretty good information you've evoked, Eliza.
Yeah, that's good. I was watching The Fringe, and that portal would open up. Would that be a portal? It wasn't a gate, right? That was a portal where Walter would walk through?
That Walter would walk through, or when they were bringing the shipments over?
Well, wasn't it both? Walter would walk through, too?
Well,
and
they were different. Those were different. One was from a box, and the other one was from a key.
Mm.
The one that sits down and, like, big trucks go through, that's different than the one that's with a key. If you notice, they're different. Where you have two little stands, and you have a barrier, and it opens between it, and you go through. Well, the other is this box that sits on the ground that opens up this big, huge thing, like an ocean liner could go through it. They're two representations of the same aspect.
Of the same what? Time
aspect of the same thing, but it's you'd say a time way. That's a good way to describe it, a time way.
And
okay, Eliza, just hold it. I just want Jim to get, before he has to go or something, let's do the British and European Union topic, Jim.
What is the significance of the movement to pull the British out of the European Union?
Well, the problem's actually in Luxembourg.
Would that involve the Prussians, Ion? The Prussian owners of the crown? Crown jewels? Too hot to answer right now?
Is Luxembourg where the court is, the European Union Judicial Court or something?
I think that's Brussels.
In The Hague.
No,
that's The Hague. That's The Hague.
All right. You can't answer the Prussian question in this context?
We did. We said the problem was in Luxembourg. And you said, is that Prussian? And we said, well, if that's what you're calling Prussia now, because it changes.
The Prussian takeover of Balmoral or some parts of the House of Windsor a couple hundred years ago creates this problem between the British. It's a historical wedge for the British in relation to the European Union.
The European Union's being dispelled because in simple triangulation, every model that you run out, the euro is zero value. But you can't have a European Union where your damn money is worth nothing. So the British is trying to get out of it quick, kicking and screaming, quickly, 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 before Angela
Merkel.
Well,
how does that relate to Luxembourg?
That's where the problem is. That's where all your detainees and your refugees and your little ones is landing, causing problems.
In the battle between the European Union and Britain and whether it joins or not, is that involved the House of Windsor versus the Prussians, the Prussian oligarchy? Is that a factor in what Britain would do?
Or what Britain might do. That's what the trouble is.
And the Prussians are caught in between that.
Yeah, because see,
okay.
From that you have Europa, which is a whole other thing that makes another mess.
I just wanted to ask about Merkel. Is she part of the Prussian framework or separate from it?
She's just like Ralph Nader. She's going to be for both of them at the same time and be voting for neither of them simultaneously. It's the old Barry Goldwater running.
Okay.
I'm going to run this one. This is Barry Goldwater, 101. I love you till I hate you, and I hate you till I love you. She's going to get her money checks to step away quietly. Just watch. And we'd still adore her, too, by the way.
You mentioned Janet Yellen earlier. What options does she have given the current value of money and the inability to actually raise interest rates?
Raise interest rates. She's considering going to negative interest rates. She isn't raising anything.
That's what I'm
zero.
Saying.
She's
no, I'm saying that. I'm saying her inability to do that.
Well, she has no capacity to because what's happened now, Bob has such a backup of money now that it's tipped it upside down. You can't even get to a GNP high enough to handle the amount of money that is. We can have four or five people walking around the planet with more money than he is. How the hell are you going to balance M1 to that? You see, so that, okay, we'll fix it. We'll have a $4 trillion budget. Well, that doesn't help anything. That means you got to have more money to make more money, to have more money, to be more debt, to be more things that are. And it's already more than is. So then you're going to have to pay people to borrow money.
Well, that's starting right now, right?
We know, yes, what we're saying. Well, we've said it along. And
what's the implication of that? If you start paying people to borrow money, that changes the whole economy, doesn't it?
Well, it has already, because now, you see, you're running into this where the money checks are already free, and everybody's like, who wants money? There's no money. There's no money. What is money? It's not worth anything at the bank. So if money has no value, then it has no value. You can't even amp it up.
Where does that leave Yellen?
Nervous.
If she has no place to go, right?
Well, sure, she's going to go negative interest rate. That's a place to go. She has plenty of places to go. I mean, all she has to do is call the Board of Governors and say, hey, y'all, let's get this straight. Let's get this high and tight. Janet Yellen is not your problem. She's nervous and concerned when Credit Suisse falls, when Deutsche Bank falls, which almost has, when Barclays fights it. There is no Geithner to tarp those little pups out of the pit. And so there's nothing to swale against it, and the Bank of China can't cover it. And Kuala Lumpur, however delicious, does not have enough money checks to make the bad go away. Uh-oh. Kuala Lumpur processes every ACH transfer that you have in your U.S. of A country right now, since y'all blew up the World Trade Center. So guess what, sports fans? You officially have a problem. Just saying.
Well, that answers the question I had for tonight, the next one.
Well, don't tell Rush Limbaugh. This will be all the radio next week if he gets all over. That's all you'll hear is Rush Limbaugh talking about.
I won't tell him.
Your show. Well, he'll listen, and Bob will have it in the Washington Post by morning anyway, so it's okay.
I think this has been very productive, and I'm going to try to catch on the next time.
Come back next week. No problem.
Is Tuesday still a night on, or is that...
Tuesday is on, but it seems to be on shorter, and he's a little more flippant, because it's young people, supposedly. It's called What Youth. But come on Tuesday if you can. You can make it serious.
Okay, if I can, I will.
All right, good.
Okay.
Thanks for dropping in.
All right, thanks.
Drop in.
Dave Neufeld, you got a question, Dave?
Hey. Yeah, hey. How's it going, Bob? Hi, Brian.
It's our Dave Neufeld. Ask Trix.
Trix, you know, it's a constant magic act and self-deception.
Yeah, I'm in the old school. Got any new vinyl lately?
No, I stopped listening to music, so I don't need any media.
Us too. Yeah.
But you don't even have to, right? I can't escape it. I don't need any media. It's embedded in everything.
Well, when you're the Sonic Antichrist, what do you expect, huh?
Sonic Antichrist.
I thought the son of the Antichrist.
Focus on that.
C'est la guerre.
I'll just like start a little informal discussion, but I'll probably like come back other times and pursue the same questions again. But here's a really whammy generic one, so I can go more specific if you want. But here I'll start out really generic. What is electricity?
We didn't say, because every way we say it doesn't hold. You change it. See, your landscape is so broad. What we would say, we'd say it's the go juice that makes things go. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That would work. But now that turns electricity into something that you consume. Oh, wait. You do consume it. Well, no, you don't. If it's a current, a circular AC alternating back and forth, electricity is neither gained nor lost. It simply is. In a state of flux until it's applied, like kinetic energy. We could say, what's kinetic energy? Well, it's once you apply a force to an accelerating particle beam, it's attached in a string or a line that allows a receptor to note the energy field. And when it notes the energy field, the lights come on. GE, we bring good things to living. We bring good things to life. and that's how that rubs. Okay, so if you like that definition, if it gets you loved up.
I like that, but how do you picture that? Like, exactly. Picture that. And people go, is it waves? Is it atoms? Is it particles?
No,
I like how you said a string.
Yeah.
A string that something detects. It has a
right.
Where it emanates from one place and directed to another.
There you go. And if you do it like the original Tesla, not the Musk version, but the original Tesla, it's something you make a tower and pump it through the ground till everybody can have it for free. That's a whole other construct. But see, then you have a Tesla coil that catches the static electricity and has a huge ramification from your environment. So now energy becomes the environment. Or then you can take just normal energy, greenhouse energy from the sun that's then converted into energy and electricity.
Is the sun direct current and not alternating current?
It is direct.
Why is that? Because it always seemed in nature that alternating current would seem more natural, but obviously the sun is natural.
No. The direct current is the circular flow. The AC current would be the imitation of direct current. Because the alternating current is just moving back and forth within a small spot, AC. DC has to have a full looping circle. So the sun that warms has to start somewhere and come to you and warm and then have radiation and catch radiation and then gamma waves and X-rays and xenia and all those waves, and they have to go back to something. It's absorbed and then given back, absorbed and given back. So it's DC. But then the AC is the it's 4-4 times. AC current is 4-4 times.
In a capacitor, why do alternating currents pass freely through it, whereas direct currents will saturate it and then block then the additional conducting of that? You know, they'll actually then create a resistance. But why not the alternating currents? Don't they contain, in effect, a fragment? I mean, isn't a direct current, a half wave, either on the positive excursion or the minus excursion?
It would, but you have to have a ballast. But see, now you have to have a ballast to have engaged the capacitor. Without a ballast, it won't do that.
No, just a capacitor on its own will block direct currents, like an unpolarized capacitor, and that's what they, in effect, like for instance in audio, when they couple audio, they block the direct current, but the alternating current, the sound itself, passes through. And I never quite understand why in nature does it have that property, and obviously it's convenient that it does. The same thing too, the direct current will get blocked in a transformer in between like two cores in the air gap, whereas the alternating currents will be induced. I mean, it's very convenient that that's how it works. I just never wondered why.
Well, it really doesn't. It's not really that way.
No?
No.
Don't they block the B+, for instance, in a tube amp with capacitors? Doesn't that not block them?
Well, it does if you have a ripple current capacitor, but if you don't, then you have to do it a different way.
No, not in terms of ripple. I mean just like a very small value capacitor that isn't acting like a filter per se. It's simply just blocking direct currents and allowing the audio to come through, because if it didn't, you'd get a sound coming in all the audio.
But nothing is ever rectified. So you have to have a rectifier or you can't get anything smooth out of that circuitry at all.
No, let's say you've smoothed it all out and you've got direct current and you've got your B+ and you've got your supply now and that's established. Why does it get blocked by the capacitor, whereas the alternating currents that are also within the same circuit, they pass through freely?
The same way that the sun has the greenhouse effect. It shines in the window, heats up the room, but doesn't blow the room up. But it heats the room. It's captured and held. But then the AC... it's the opposite of that. It's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, so it would flow right through the windows. It would be a greenhouse effect with open windows. It warms, then the heat causes the wind to make it rise and make it move out of the building. So you can actually make AC would give you air conditioning. DC would give you a greenhouse effect. Does that help divide it a little bit for you?
Well, it does. It's just, why does it get trapped in the alternating? Because you're saying because it only flows in one direction, where the alternating...
Back and forth.
Well, that's sure convenient that there's the two, wouldn't you say?
It's throwing a ping pong ball off of a building, a 100-story building, or playing ping pong with two professionals in a very small table. there's more energy in it than there is the one long fall.
In a case of a tube, when you so-called bias the tube, you know, you bring the grid in a certain relation, you know, to ground, below zero, below the cathode, let's say, for instance. And one way to do it is by, you know, obviously the resistor value on the cathode, you know, and it depends how much voltage you're putting in. Another way is to inject B-plus into
the... B-plus, they are control your ohmage. You can control your ohmage and do the same thing.
Obviously, there's the resistor, but what I'm also saying is you can change the voltage of it by injecting B+, and by doing that, if you, say, inject 22 volts, it sees there, it'll bring the grid to silence. So now the tube will not conduct any sound. It'll be dead quiet until you put a positive.
It's not to silence.
Well, it depends on the tube. A sharp cutoff will go pretty damn silent.
We're not arguing with you. It's not silence. It's balance.
Right, in a, like
it's
an idle. I'm referring like in. You can bring it like in an idle state where it's basically produced.
If it's balanced, then it's making no noise.
It's just refraction. Cut off too. It's not conducting too.
No,
it's not. The grid's been brought well below minus 10, minus 15.
Don't talk so much, Dave. Calm down.
Then it's in balance. So that's all we're saying. It's not silent. It's balanced because it's actually very, very loud. To the hearers that can hear it.
If I was going to do the same thing through a grid bias, is that a much less brute force way of doing it? And let's say I establish it, whatever, and it wouldn't take a lot, you know, whatever, 5 milliamps, not even, like a very small amount of current to place on it. When I start having another control bias going in, is it going to overcome it, or is it easier when I set the control bias by the cathode?
If you do the cathode, then you've got to have a squelch to balance it because it will absorb it otherwise. But if you have a squelch that can differentiate the pitches of your low and high and your cathode that you're introducing, you can actually have them going simultaneously and get a fabulous music value out of that if you have what I call a squelch. It squelches.
Yeah, what's explain
like
that?
Well, it's like the old CB
squelch.
You take out all the white noise except for the part you're trying to focus in on from the tiniest little mark. The squelch gets rid of all the crap so you can pinpoint on that one point.
I'm sort of applying similar stuff in the stuff that I do, but in the audio sort of range. But the squelch kind of acts like, is like what, like the automatic volume control on an older unit?
On the older stuff, yeah. And that's not the best word to use, but from old school retro things that you dabble in, it's the best thing that applies so you can understand, like if you have a fuzzy background, the squelch would take the white noise out of the back and let you get Ella Fitzgerald's real voice.
That's right. I mean, obviously, by the time they brought in tape, it wasn't seem like that necessary to do that anymore. And that's why, in a lot of ways, in the tube stuff, you know, all the kind of things like gating that basically was abandoned, but then it all came back in recording because it's very useful in recording for drums and for, you know, keeping noises and rumbles down.
Pick up, lather, rinse, repeat. You're right back to the old as new again. That's right. The new frontier.
Now tell me this. Give us a parallel world. What would have happened? Because I noticed in the Second World War, man, did they ever pump as many permutations and usage out of a lowly little tube that they could. What would have happened if they didn't develop the transistor and it kept the tube like for another, you know, 10? Would they have developed really cool synthesizers and musical instruments like they ended up doing with transistors?
A lot of dimensions did. There's some that still use a cathode ray tube now. They don't even do plasma even now. They're great because they focused on those and they actually perfected them, and they're amazing. They have no limit to vibrational hum or pitch. There's no limit. There's no top or bottom. Notes can be half-lifed to ever, which, as you know, is amazing to not have a limit on your scale.
Is there still stuff that you could think, because what I found was I looked at what people are doing with tubes now that, you know, like look back in 40s and 50s technologies, and they make newer stuff, you know, and they even attempt to sell it. There's a guy in the States, for instance. But I found that, like, you know, with the gas tubes and the different, like a self-oscillating tube, it's all cool, and they'll generate sine waves, and you can do additive synthesis. They'll generate square waves, all this kind of stuff, and you can do all kinds of sine waves.
But they ain't as good as the Hammond B3, though, are they?
Well, that's a really lovely machine. It's very unique in itself, and obviously that a tubes is a big part of it as well. But no. Well, I think that's a good, a great example of a tube technology that's just so rich and complex sounding that, you know, it's so satisfying that it really just, yeah, I would say it's a great example of a excellent tube and effective technology that really is only emulated by digital technology. But it had to be created first within that. But I diverse when we're talking
is
about
that. So is the Hammond B3 AC or DC?
Well, there's DC applied to the plates in it, but it's mostly all alternating currents and sound we're hearing, yes.
Interesting. So it would be a good representation that might induce both.
But, you know, Ion, here's what I'm going to say.
You can't have
No, you know what it is? Look, no, Ian, because I just remember the track lights. They say, with what they're doing, they're basically taking the gas tubes. You can kind of split them up into a small thing where you can maybe squeeze about 3 octaves out of them kind of thing. It's all cool, but then when I listen to the sounds and what they've got and they're generating this, yeah, it sounds cool, but it's not anything better than the Moogs or the Jupiter 6s, and you know what I mean? And those are a little, they don't heat up the same way. They're a little more stable in their tuning. The interface is already there, and it's more advanced than anything that was ever originally made with tubes. And so I almost thought it felt like a little bit of a dead end in terms of music or that kind of thing, that you could spend a lot of time and in the end you would maybe have something that sounds really good and would do sort of moogie sounds, but you would never really exceed it. But I know, at the same time, hearing some of the stuff they had in the 30s and 40s, it sounds incredible and it's rich, but it's also, you know, weighs 800 pounds, the unit, and has, you know, 106 tubes in it, and it's not really practical.
And if you drop a brown tab while you're doing it, it sounds about the same.
What, if you drop, say the last part again?
You drop
a brown tab of LSD.
Of acid.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It sounds about the same.
No, that's a good point, Dave. That's right. You take a drug, then all your distinctions that you know within the aesthetics of all these different machines through the century fall away, and it's all good. Now, what's that? That's a whole different...
Well, it could be, or how about this, or that all falls away, and it becomes a case of the gesture itself.
I just realized, Dave, you are fucking neurotic. You are so involved with sound, and all we have to do is put you on LSD, and that would block your mind and all your knowledge, and you'd be so relaxed, you would fucking think I was a good singer.
Bob, you're known for your dancing, not your singing.
Yeah.
Hey, Ion, I just want to bring up another thing, because you're raising a lot of neat topics. Is a friend of mine in Mexico, you know what he said? He said, he's an architect. He said, if you can come up with a roofing tile that would work like in hot climates especially, like ceramic, whatever it was made with, that would also act like as a solar panel, and so each one you put on would serve both purposes, you would, like, you know, be a hero and have lots of sales.
Bob already has that. It's called Glastic.
Glastic?
Yes, as a matter of fact, hey, Carol, I know what I'm talking about because I was going to say we have it. Glastic. I fucking knew. I knew I had the answer.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, we have
Glastic. Bob's knowing stuff. Now, non-physical is nervous.
Yeah, no, Glastic, you haven't heard us talk about that before, Dave.
I haven't, no.
It's because it's top secret.
Yeah.
And
right.
We're going to have to kill you now.
Thank you. No, what you just described is what our stuff's going to, one of the things it's going to be able to do.
Well, how about this?
He called that fucking architect and said, I just had an amazing conversation about music, blah, blah, blah. Why don't you be smarting up and call Ion?
Check this out. Start
using this resource.
No, that's true, but a little bit of kudos to the guy. He actually sent me $25 or whatever, or $50 to buy 2 copies of Carolyn's book, and he got the book. And he read it, and he canceled the vaccination program at his company.
Yeah, but Dave, we check his level of credulity. You now excerpt this whole conversation you're having with Ion and send it to him, and if he listens to it all, he'll hear this state. Well, Bob already has it. If he's any kind of human curiosity, he'll say, Dave, who's this Bob guy? He's already got it. You know, he should go.
No, he's sort of aware of you, because that's the guys in that band Chiquita Violenta, and they were listening to the cash flows, and they like Ion, and they like you. So they are there. No, you have credibility already with them. You're not
an unknown. But they haven't kept up. Yeah, they got a flash, but where
are they
today?
They've got about
8
million kids because they're busy with their lives. They've got about 4 kids each.
Well, they're too busy. Tell them they're too busy.
Well, you know what? They're cool, and they would. They would do an update, but, yeah, they got shitloads of stuff on their plate. They're distracted.
All right. Back to your question. Ask a question, Dave, without going on too much. Listen to what I'm saying.
No, I'm sorry. I just want to – I'm tech talking, so I can't help but get – I'm like that.
That's all right, but try it.
Yeah,
try
it. Trying to be a little more radio friendly.
Do a new question.
Okay.
The radio star.
Yes. Bob, we saw that even in the 80s. Radio was dying even then. They were canceling all the news departments. They weren't making enough money.
It's old-fashioned, David. It's meaty ecology. You know, we said that in the 70s, for fuck's sake. We predicted it. So
regardless, here's the pattern. Is the people then, if they could see even in 10 years flash-forward ahead what a ghetto their radio station would become, then they thought it was bad just the initial cutback.
Yeah,
they knew this is going to be reduced to a ghetto of people just calling in and talking about sports and shit.
But, okay, ask a question.
All right. You know, because a lot of the questions that I was going to ask tonight, we kind of went over.
Okay,
I think so.
All right.
Well, how about
we'll come back?
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's so nice.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that's good.
Thanks. You said thanks for having me, and I thought, well, it's so nice.
Okay. I love you, buddy. Now, look, here's the one last one. What's going to happen to gold and the U.S. dollar? I noticed gold jumped $50 an ounce a few days back. You know, at the same time, I looked at the Drudge Report and it said, you know, Russian stock market collapses even more. Collapsed from the collapse. Further collapse. And Greece, further collapse in Greece.
Greece is already gone. We're divvying up Puerto Rico right now.
But that's holeopathic. Invisible collapsing. Tinier and tinier. That's what I mean by holeopathic.
Is there any significance to that? I noticed, too, in the past you had talked about platinum and gold versus their prices. And at this point now, platinum is about, like, let's say $900. It's probably, I don't have the figures in front of me, but let's say $900.
Mm-hmm.
And the gold is like $1,250. And there was one point when platinum was maybe 30-40% more expensive than gold for many years, in fact. Is that pattern going to stay the same, or are they both going to start to go up?
They'll both start to go up, but all our people have already gone to platinum. They're already in platinum, so they don't go to platinum. They're already there. But gold hasn't gone up or down since Jesus. Gold is the same, but it's gone up in what you say price because money's gotten cheaper. But if you're dumping money, you take trillions of dollars and you don't have a clue what a fucking trillion dollars is, and you have trillions of dollars that money is, now you have a number that people don't even know what is. People don't know what $1 trillion is. Don't tell Obama what $250 billion is or you'll be on.
That's why it's Android Mimic, Dave. The Android Meme knows what $1 trillion is, and it's talking to itself and its parts, not humans.
It's having an amount of money that there's no way on planet Earth that I could spend it all in my whole lifetime or 2 lifetimes or 10 lifetimes, that much money. Mm-hmm. Money now is no money. So it's like taking all the music that ever's been ever music and say, I have all the music that's ever been or ever going to be.
What value does it have?
I already have. Then all of a sudden you're just a music man and no one's paying to listen to you. You already have it all.
Yeah. So now in the case of gold, is that a matter of taste? Is that like if people don't think gold is worth anything, that it won't be? Or people feel, no, gold is tangible, it's valuable, we need it for X and X, so we will say that if money's worthless, then it's worth trillion dollars an ounce.
Well, no, it doesn't matter. That's just what they're exchanging. So you're looking at a 1237.26 ounce of gold today, and it's going to bump around. But that's not because of the U.S. dollar. That's because of your European Union falling. So they don't have a haven to come to. And what is Deutsche Bank going to go get a backup line of credit? They're not going to. They're not buying. They're buying their own bonds.
You know what, it occurred to me, Dave, that the exchange of gold and dollars is tactility, which cannot be seen or heard. It's just exchange. It's tactility. That's what we're witnessing. The Android meme is rampant tactility.
But if you don't do it just right, you can go to bed with a sore bum hole. We can assure you that.
Okay, Dave, very good questioning. Very good. Classic. And we'll just go to someone else here. Thanks.
Thanks so much, guys.
Yes,
yeah, it was really good listening.